Thank you. The lections that Herman read for you are a wonderful unfolding of the way in which we as Christians understand these stones. The stones that crushed the life out of St. Stephen, taking him to his grave, the bright hope in 1 Peter of living stones becoming a dwelling place for God in the Spirit, and now we hear in John the promise of many dwellings. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. In fact, will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, would I go to prepare a place for you? Now, there's hardly a more beloved text for funerals, the promise of a dwelling place in the very heart of God. The lectionary helps us, as I said earlier, hold up the stones from which the dwelling place will be built. In Acts, stones crush the life of St. Stephen. They scatter the foundation stones of the church into the Judean hills. In 1 Peter, they are transformed into living stones to be built into a spiritual house. In my mind, the stoning of Stephen in Acts is reminiscent of Ezekiel's vision of the valley of dry bones. The first Christian deacons have been ordained. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. They preach good news. And immediately Stephen is dragged out of the city gates and stoned to death. The saint lies still, no breath in him, and the fragile Jesus fellowship is scattered. Will these bones live? Will these scattered stones be gathered together? Then 1 Peter takes up the theme, a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, God's own people, that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him, called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Scattered stones, fleeing for their lives, and now in John's gospel, a promise of a house with many rooms. John's church in Ephesus is under great stress. They are riven by interpretations of the Jesus movement that will either allow them to dwell in the community of the synagogue or will finally put them out. Where will they dwell? They don't have any dwelling place. If the fragile community does not have a place in their family of origin or with their home synagogue, and this is the crisis that the gospel writer is trying to address, and so he offers a promise of many rooms. Not the kind of rooms that will be found in their family homes. They will be put out. So what kind of dwelling is John talking about? While this text has been relegated to funerals and a dwelling place in the hereafter, John is talking about much more. He's talking about where are they going to dwell in the here and now? Where will the church dwell? And as I said at Easter time, you know, God has pretty much got heaven covered. God doesn't need our help with heavenly accommodations. God needs living stones to create dwelling places in this world. And once again, we learn that God's plan for creation is creation out of nothing. The saint lies lifeless outside the city gate while Saul approves. He goes from house to house, dragging Christians from their homes and to prison. In John's gospel, the disciples plead, "We do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" What troubles the disciples' hearts is the very, very real sense that Jesus' time with them has come to an end. We have the same relationship with time. Its brevity robs us of those we love. The saint is full of conviction, yet is still as a stone. The living disciple testifies he does not know the way. Where are the architect's plans for this dwelling place, the outline of a foundation in scattered stones? And this is the consistent theme for God's creative activity, creation out of nothing. A spiritual house built out of our most dread fear, the fear of isolation, abandonment, betrayal, attack, death, and nothingness. It is the void that threatens to swallow up any meaning that life might have. It is the void that we seek to fill, both materially and with things we can amass, and spiritually with more activities than we can write down on our calendars. It is out of the void that God first calls a son, and is out of the void now that God calls the church. God calls our most enduring hope out of nothing. But what about many dwelling places prepared for you and me? I think artists and poets get there first. On the back of your bulletin, I've shared with you a poem by Robert Frost, and I'd like to read it. But God's own descent into flesh was meant as a demonstration that supreme merit lay in risking spirit in transubstantiation. Spirit enters flesh for all it's worth, changes into earth in birth after birth, ever fresh and fresh. We may take the view that its daring due thought of in large is one mighty charge on our human part, of the soul's ethereal into the material. In birth after birth, fresh and fresh. Mary was the first to house Christ, and now he seeks to grow in us. In my mother's house, there are many rooms. This, as it turns out, is true of my heavenly mother, but also of my earthly mother. I grew up in a western suburb of Cleveland, Ohio, that in a house so small that when our daughter Ruth went back to visit it with me, she said, "Were you happy here?" We didn't need a tiny house movement then. But you know what? I too was shocked. How did five of us fit into this tiny place. Yet my childhood memories are of a mansion. I can still return to it and find comfort in its rooms. We were never lonely. I can dwell there because it was love that made room for me. I know that there is hope that I can make room for other people because of the expansive example of my parents and their love's congruence with my Christian faith. From them, I learned that the many dwelling places include the human heart, dwelling places for me, dwelling places for my sisters, for a new classroom of kindergartners every year. These did not crowd out my mother's love for me. New grandchildren, new neighbors, room for all, ever fresh and fresh. I had the same experience actually returning to our old church house on Cameron Avenue. Shocking, actually, how small it is. Yet in my mind's eye, so roomy. In this house, then and now, United Church of Chapel Hill, there are many mansions. You know, now there are nearly 1,000 of you, and even more than that. There's exponential roominess in the love expressed from our very tiniest ones to the most stretched and seasoned hearts. In this mother's house, there are many rooms, spiritual stones building a house where love may dwell and where you will provide a dwelling place for many. The human heart is the dwelling place for the Spirit of God. These spiritual stones that create the mansions of God reflect also a richness of witness. Each newcomer brings a witness in a way that helps us see ourselves ever fresh and fresh. The experienced lay leader brings a context and a blessing that is foundational for this spiritual home. And on it goes as we glimpse the roominess that is God's plan for us. Each diverse voice blesses the world with yet another door open to the heart of God. In each one of you, in each one of you, God is preparing a roomy mansion in which you and others will dwell. You know, without you and your unique witness, our world would be vastly poorer. In these bodies, with all our admitted limitations, God is expanding the roomy place every time we forgive somebody, every time we prove to be trustworthy, every time we invite somebody in, each time we abide with one of the beloved. As Cynthia Jarvis observes, contrary to the covenant we make with one another, till death do us part. And it's a grand covenant, make no mistake. God's promise to love us, to make room for us, to know and be known by us, never ends. What we know about God revealed in the good news for this morning is that God has chosen not to be God without us. Not till death do us part, but eternally. Therefore, our hearts, she writes, need never be troubled. In these hearts, God is preparing many mansions, and good news doesn't get any better than that. Amen.